1-800-866-8883.
Oh, that kind of music is a beautiful music, and my name is Roy Masters, and I'm a warrior against sickness and diseases. Not that I don't have it myself, but I went through the entire medical organizations. I've had a tough life, but I've learned what causes it all. 95% of all your misery and all your suffering and wars and, you know, divorce, destroyed children, which I'm going to be talking about just in a few minutes. But there's only one thing. I have reduced that cause. Not that I have done it. I've been looking for years, the root of all the mischief and all the diseases. 95% are caused by just one thing only. Now, that one thing represents, be still and know that I am God, says the scripture. But who the heaven knows what being still means? And I'm not going to go into detail, but I am going to start off this program with this, we're trying to, because, you know, be still and know is so simple, but the simplicity defies words. But there are words that can be put in order to the intuitive person who is seeking. The average person will never be able to understand what I'm about to say. When I say average, I beg your pardon, because the disease that afflicts all of mankind, it afflicts the good with the evil. The difference between those two is the only person that really will get what I'm saying here on this program are the decent people who are suffering from the same problem as the wicked. But they're struggling with it. And what struggling with the problem is worse, is what causes you to become worse. We will talk about that. The number is 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. I'm inviting you to call me with any problem you've got. I don't know, it could be anything. Cancer is mostly, there may be other forms of cancer, I don't know that, like being radiated or something. But generally speaking, the 95% of all diseases include cancer and every other illness you can think of, with all different kinds of names. And if you please notice that the sicker you get in modern times, when we didn't have so much advantages with modern understanding of healing. I mean, we're very far ahead. So that people can live 80, 90, 100 and still be functional. But in those old days where there wasn't any medicine, people died 50, 60 years old. And it goes down to wherever you are in the world, and in Africa, it's about the average age is about 28 or 30. See, so there's something there that I will try to explain with everything I've got. But what will make it interesting is for one of you listening to this program to give me a call, 800-866-8883, 800-866-8883, and let's have a chat. I'm challenging you in a manner of speaking. Do you have a problem? Has a childhood trauma affected you very often into the 50s? Are you beyond 50 and beyond and still have this problem from a child? Or sense that it is coming from the childhood and you're standing in your parents' shoes?
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Oh, hello. I do hope you enjoyed the first 5 minutes. I have a William in Michigan I want to take right away. I can do better with people calling in. 800-866-8883. I have a bad cold, so you forgive me for this. But I like to do my program every evening, no matter what. And the number is 800-866-8883. That's right. And let me see. This program is 800-8891. Just in case you find it interesting, you can go to my website, fhu.com, and listen to it live, because it's repeated for 23 hours, and it goes on to the next show after that. And fhu.com. Now, I'm going to take the first call, 800-866-8883. Okay, and this is a very interesting question. This is a very interesting question. He's in Michigan, and I'm going to read what my producer put on my screen. Lives in a group home and wants to advise some advice about how to attract a good wife. That is a good question, because if you don't attract a good wife, well, you've got to be good enough to do that. You must be virtuous enough to do that. It's the beginning of all misery. It's the continuum of misery through one man's sin and death through sin spread through the human race, like it was a pandemic. See? So, I welcome William. Hello, William.
Hello, Roy. How are you? Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have a question. I was smothered by my dad, who smoked Viceroy's. And I fell for it, and my brother didn't. He wouldn't fetch ashtrays. And I've been smoking since I was 17, and I find that the meditation helps, the antidote. Because it seems like when I don't try to smoke, then I can give it up.
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're making a statement, but I'm not sure what you want.
I want to quit smoking.
Well, it says you want to advise how to attract a good wife.
I want to attract a good wife too, and I want a blonde.
Well, look, you're not going to attract a good wife if you smoke.
No, I won't.
No, because smoking is an addiction.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Everything else.
So
everything that you hunger for. This, if I may, just play a little bit with you with. With the Bible, this is the time of year I should be able to use it without affecting and or infecting anybody. But what you're looking for, why you smoke, you have to ask yourself, why do I smoke? Or why do I eat too much? You can just pick anything that makes you to fill the emptiness that shouldn't be empty. It should be fulfilled. It should be fulfilled in a spiritual way. But we don't know. We don't know. We don't know what that spiritual way is. The only clue to it is be still and know. And who knows what that means? I do, and we will be talking about that. Well, your conscience, but your conscience often seems like an enemy. You see, it makes you feel uncomfortable.
You run from it. Huh? You run from your conscience.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I find when I use the antidote and I listen, I'm calmer and I can give it up.
Well, have you given the smoking up?
Not yet.
Well, then you haven't. Then you.
I have a cigar left, and I have two bags of tobacco.
No. I don't need.
Smoke.
Listen, you got to be careful not to waste my time.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you're starting to give me stories of what you do and everything, and what you're calling for is my help. And so, just let me finish this idea. So you have a conscience, and when you said it's my conscience, I said a lot of people don't like the conscience because they think of it as the enemy. See, and so they tend to run from what is bidding them to come back to God. With your intuitive self that you had a child and lost it to bullying and not being raised properly.
I was bullied in the Navy and I wasn't raised properly.
That's right. But see that. But the point is, you do have conscience, and you must not, you dare not, think of that conscience as the enemy. You dare not. And so, if you can recognize that conscience as a friend trying to, it, after all, the truth hurts. You know, we all hear that the truth is unpleasant, and when you try to talk to a person that you think of as a friend, and then you see him making a mistake, you rise to the occasion of your need. You tend to be afraid to speak to that friend of yours or your wife or whoever it is, because you have become addicted to the person's friendship or fiendship. And so therefore the tendency is to make sure you feel secure by not telling that person what his fault is that you see. Coming back to the point, you need to, when you're meditating, when you get to meditate in the right way, You actually move backwards in time. You move backwards. In other words, let me put it another way. The meditation disconnects you from your monkey brain. I call it monkey brain because the brain is not much different from a monkey, except what makes it different, what makes us different, is that we have intuition, and the spoken word is the enemy. And the intuitive word that is not a spoken word, but it's a wordless word. It gives you an energy that dispels the stress factor and the hunger which you're looking for into the world. You're looking for the satisfaction of hunger, a sense of worth, which is worthless. And so, but to the degree, whatever kind of addiction you have, it doesn't matter what it is, smoking, drinking, drugs, alcohol, it doesn't matter. When you move towards the idea or something that gives you a sense of worth, a good feeling, every high as a result of that is the new low. So every time you smoke, you are rejecting reality or the enemy. You've got to see your conscience as a friend. And it's painful, because if you try to speak to a friend about his problem, he will get angry with you. And so the tendency is to not to speak to your friends that way, but the friends are not friends, they're fiends.
I sent you a money order, and I sent away for overcoming drugs, alcohol, and sex.
Yeah, but that doesn't That doesn't help me help you when you say these things to me. I have to leave you because you are not listening to me and responding intelligently. And in other words, I'm making points and you're not following it, and you are playing with me, and in a sense that you actually throw another grenade at me, just another nothing that doesn't explode in my head so I understand you. And so you're not understanding me. I have to leave you. Gotta go. All right. Now we're going to go to another call, 800-866-8883. Let me see if we can start off with somebody with, you know, well, this might be very interesting. So how do you spell my, is it Delcia in Pennsylvania? Hello. What can I do you for? Hello.
Hello.
This is Roy. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. I have a cold myself, so I hope you understand.
Me too. Yes, but we'll get through this. What can I do for you? I see multiple personalities. That's an interesting one to start the program with.
Yeah, I've been going through the multiple personality.
Well, explain
for a long time.
That. Just how long has it been that way?
Well, prior to me coming on just now on the radio with you, I remember you saying before your first caller, are you one of the people that had problems since childhood? And now that you're in your 50s, you're still having these problems, and I'm
That's
one
right.
of those people.
That's interesting. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's make it nice and simple. And I hope you're doing better than the first caller. Or even though I spoke to him in an interesting way, he just went on and kept on talking about other things he has and not focus on what I'm saying. So I want to focus you on one thing. Who do you hate? Who did you hate more, your mother or your father?
My, it's sad to say, but my mom, because I never really was, my mom put it that way to start
yeah,
off.
Yes. For what reason do you love her? Was she too nice to you and make you dependent on her, codependence? Or was she mean? Which one was it?
It was a love hate type of thing that was so confusing. When I wasn't always reared around my mother when I was growing up as a child. I was with other family members besides, you know, and so I wasn't always around her when I was in my formidable years. But when I was around her, and as I got older and went back to live with her as a teenager trying to get to know her, it's just,
let me ask a question. How is it you had to get to know her? Were you separated from her for some reason?
Yes, I was.
What was that?
Well, by me being so young as a toddler, I don't know. I was told by other family members, like her sister,
I'm not sure you understood what I'm saying. I want something simple, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Why was it you didn't? Your mother was there since the day you were born. Why did you not know your mother when you? And then, because you mentioned that when I was connected to my mother, that you see that is the question. Why were you separated from your mother from the day you were born, or what?
Okay, I was separated from her, from what I understand, because I was taken away from her to live with my grandparents because
why?
I was the first born, and she just wasn't ready to raise a child.
Oh, so she was disturbed.
I guess.
But it's obvious. You just said that you had to be raised by your grandparents. because that she wasn't in her right mind. And that's what I'm getting from it. Is that correct?
Well, probably not. What it was, she was living like that worldly kind of life.
A worldly kind of life, yes. And meaning, yes.
When I say worldly, you know, I was born, but someone else had to take on the responsibility of what was really supposed to have been her responsibility since she was my mother.
Did you long for your real mother?
Once I understood, was you know, mature enough or knew that she was my mother, yes, I did.
Did you feel rejected? Yes. Did you feel rejected by her?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Very
and
much.
Did you hate? Is that rejection fall under the name hate?
Yes.
When you feel rejected, you hate. Is that, am I correct?
Yes.
And that hate lived a long time. How old were you when you were finally united with your mother?
Well, okay. I was separated, from what I understand, at age 3. And then around age, I think 10 or 11, I was reunited with her 4 times.
All right. Now, this is a very important point. You answered the question. You know, I know that you were 3 years old, which I didn't know before. And you were aware enough to know that you were being rejected. You were aware enough when you were 3. And you were aware enough that she was screwy, and she had a bad life. As you explained, she was of this world, drink, smoke, and all kinds of stuff like that. But she loved all that, but rejected you. She wanted to live a life of pleasure, etc., etc., and you meant nothing to her. But as a little child, it is a very traumatic event, and there's something about women. For instance, you are a woman, and I will talk about a man in a minute, but every woman is an Eve, and every man born of woman is an Adam, and both have problems, and men tend to look to women, because when they come into the world, the culture. When we come into the culture, when we're born, we have an intuition, and we should be living by that intuition all along. But the tendency is that nearly everybody on earth behaves in a similar way, is that when you are born innocent with intuition, when you get to be 2 or 3, you begin to see that by intuition that something's wrong with your mother, and you see the injustices all around you, and you are overcome with frustration and longing, and there's a longing for this mother, a tremendous longing, but she never rises to the occasion of your needs because she's selfish. But you have to understand the way that mother behaved. Also, she also came from a family very similar to yours, and when she came into the world, your mother came into the world just like you did, pure and intuitive, but what kind of suffering she went through made her what she is. And now I'll come back to you. You were born, and when you come into the world, you're actually coming into culture. And the culture, if the conditions of your life where you are is like you've explained, like everybody else, you will be swallowed up by the culture, and the culture will take hold of you, and you will not grow up in a good way. You grow up into a human being in conflict of an animal, a mortal person, not immortal, but mortal, which is an animal, in conflict with your humanity. You have conflict. And the conflict comes from your mother longing for her. And you keep longing for her. What you're longing for is the devil. All the way back. You're an Eve. There's no man in your life that could save you. The purpose of life is for man. There's a gentleman that called me first thing in this program, and he had a problem, and I wanted to talk to him about this subject, but he just didn't pay much attention to me and just babbled away about other things. But the purpose, to make a perfect happiness, to break the agony of life which you are experiencing is for everybody listening to this program to understand that we're standing in our parents' shoes in one way or another. And women inherit the Eve syndrome. In other words, she's looking for love. But women can't give her that love, generally speaking, because women need love themselves. As you notice, you were born a woman, and now you're hungry for your mother. But your mother is broken. She's subject to the chain of command all the way back to Paradise Lost, when Eve unconsciously did something to Adam, and he wasn't up to the task of saying put the fruit down, and therefore he was lost. He lost his relationship with his creator and began to look to the woman for love. And every man ever since looks to the woman for love, which causes a breakdown in the family as a family unit. And so I'm saying to you, what you need to do is to forgive your mother, for she knows not what she did to you. And so in your childhood, when you were 3 years old, and your mother was extremely cruel to you. She rejected you. And in that rejection, you hated her. And when you hated her, you took a little piece of her inside you. And you keep hungering for it, and she never comes. And when it never comes, you get upset. And what's inside you is a tremendous anger. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. And what also was so profound that I have brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest child.
Yes.
And I have brothers and sisters underneath me, and I have such conflict with them. You know, I try, when I do interact with them, it's like a struggle just to.
Yes, and I'm going to ask you not to entangle yourself anymore, because you tend to want to be good. See, the tendency is that you have a different tendency from your mother, but it's the same sickness in a different way. Your mother is broken, and she comes into the world, and she sets you aside as if you were just, you know, you're just wasteling. She doesn't care for you, whatever the reasons for it. And so,
my dad is the reason why. She used to talk about my dad real bad to me. She said, "You're just like your dad. You're not good." And that stigmatized me really, really bad, because it did something that stuck with me. And through my entire life, I never could just
What about your dad? Tell me, what about your dad?
My dad, I know him, but he never was a dad that would be in the home with his wife and the children's mother. In other words, he was not there. I've seen my dad in my entire life. I've seen my dad maybe 10 or 12 times in my entire life. That's how pathetic that is.
Yes, I understand. Now, you hold the line. I'm enjoying your conversation.
Okay.
But just, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to ask you to support my program I've been on the air for 55, it's almost 56 years. I invented talk radio. Yes, I invented it. And I've been on radio almost 56 years now, and I'm unable to find the secret, which I'm trying to do now by interrogating a young lady, Delcia, and she's holding the line. She has multiple personalities, and with my discussions with her, you may discover something about her that is also wrong with you. And if that's the case, may I suggest you call 800-866-8883. And that is the program number, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's when I do it live. And it's weekdays, West Coast time. Thank you. And I want to just be back in a minute. I want just you to bear with me a little bit. We need support. And if I had $1 a day or $10 a month from all the millions of people I've helped, I mean millions, I've found out how to overcome post-traumatic stress disorder. And with as much money as I had and the context to give this material three for free, there's it's about 10,000, more than 10,000 soldiers that got benefit from that. And if you can look up, if you wish to follow through with the virtue of helping people with post-traumatic stress disorder, that's the veterans, look for military Roy Masters. Just find that Roy Masters connection to the military, and you'll see that that's what I've been doing, and it works. Except Obama made it very difficult for me to engage the veterans. You know, he was destroying them himself. I wouldn't let anybody like myself get close to them. But never mind. It was about 600,000 or 700,000 so far, at least. Because I have a CD, let me see if I have it. Here it is. It's called Coping Strategies. And for warriors, family members, and professionals. Anyway, if confidential, effective, and powerful. And it's only a CD, but all the person needs is a CD, and I'm able to reconnect him to his creator, just like the scripture says, unless you become as a little child, you can no ways enter the kingdom. The secret is to bring you back to the state, the intuitive apparatus, the intuitive self, intuitive, not outtuitive. The tendency, we become outtuitive, and the spoken voice becomes authority to you, and that's not good. Okay, we'll be back now. Delcia, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Good.
Excuse me.
Okay. Now, listen very carefully. Do you know the story about Adam and Eve, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And so, Eve didn't have the connection to God. God made man first. And out of man, he took a piece of him and made woman, so to speak. Now, this is very accurate because you are experiencing this. So therefore, because Adam was free to eat of the forbidden fruit. Look, let me give you just to give you a little something that you can understand. A little boy or a little girl, I can understand it from a little boy's point of view, it makes it more clear. He wants to buy a little toy. He doesn't have the money, and as he sees a quarter on dad's night table, and there's a feeling that comes, that there's a pull, and he thinks to himself, something tells him to take it, see? And some children succeed in not taking it, but there's very few. Most of them will take that coin, and when father comes to see that the coin is gone, assuming that he sees it, then he says, did you take that? And the little boy right away, instead of saying, yes, father, I did, he makes an excuse and blames somebody else, or blames Eve. See? And that relationship, so he gets thrown out of a garden, and he lost his eternal life. He will get it back one day, because he is the only person that ever disobeyed God. We are born as an extension of that. So when children come into the world, they come into the world innocent from the beginning. And you can't say that a baby is, you know, is sinful. But the point is, the same thing happens whether she has there's no choice. There's no choice in the child when it comes into a situation that is like you describe, which most young people do, because there's so many divorces. There's 70 to 80% divorce, so that there's millions and millions and millions of people, or little kids who are stuck to their mothers and hating their fathers, etc. And then looking for love, as Adam began to look for love in the very person that killed him. But she didn't know it. She didn't understand it. She was closer to the dark side of the force. And so when he ate of the fruit, and then he lied, instead of saying, I'm sorry, I didn't realize what I was doing. He didn't. He just made an excuse. Eve made me do it. Now, what we got as the extension of that relationship is generations of every color and race and creed that have that relationship through one man's sin, and death through sin spread through the human race. So that death, which is the end of our lives if we're not careful, but we do have a period of time as we get born, even though when we come into the culture, whatever culture it is, if you're born in Borneo, you can never make it. If you're born in Hitler Germany, you wouldn't make it. But you're born in America, you have an opportunity to live out your life and recognize that you've inherited, you especially, you've been hungering for your mother. And all the mothers that went before you, your great-grandmother, your great-great-grandmother, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, and you come to Eve, and she has not, she's looking for a man to love the hell out of her, and what she gets is a man that loves the hell in her. And that's what causes the problem. That causes a terrible problem for everybody. And everybody has some kind of disconnection and disease. Yours is a personality. And you're recognizing, is she still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good, good. Are you following me? In other words,
yes,
you're looking to your mother, who's rejecting you. See? But instead of getting what your mother wants, because you got no father to protect you, fathers are supposed to overcome the Eve aspect. The spirit of Eve in the woman is seductive. Men are strong, but women are seductive, and they overcome the what. Physical strength with their seductive strength. And so that's what is, so men tend to look to women, and but by looking to a woman for love, that he draws the worst out of her and makes him feel better just for a little while, because the pleasure of sex is will do that. It will give you a sweetmeat, give him a man a sort of a sweet lift, a feeling of worth, which is worthless. And they become addicted to their wives and their girlfriends. And the more she gives him, the more he wants. And then she'll reject him, and he will run away and find another woman. And the same thing repeats itself with everybody. Now, come to you. You have to realize your mother didn't understand. She was completely lost, and she wanted to find happiness, but she didn't know what happiness is, and she didn't know that happiness is addictive. And so the more she wanted it, the more pain she experienced.
Excuse me, Roy.
Yes.
Can I interject for a
yes.
minute?
Yes.
When it comes, let me clear this for you. First of all, I understand everything you're saying so far. Just let you know, my mother's no longer. She's deceased now.
Yes.
And if for my dad, I don't, like I said, I really never got to really have him in my life. I know who he was, because I don't know if he's still alive or not. But the point I'm trying to make in the multiple personalities that stem from so long ago,
yes,
because of the family that I was born into and all the brokenness that they sustained from their parents, and like you saw, all the way back to antiquity.
That's right.
My thing is this, though, even with doing your meditation and following your instructions the way I'm supposed to simply follow
yes.
them, I have so many, not just my mother and occasional when I think the times I was with my dad, but even siblings, say like immediate family, extended family, like cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody has talked to me, that I have interacted with as far as my family circle is concerned, immediate and extended, they have done nothing, and I accepted it, planted all this poison in my mind. And when I think I'm getting a breakthrough, the thoughts come rushing in even more, trying to keep me from meditating.
I understand that, but why did you mention your siblings, the family, and then suddenly changed the subject matter?
Because I don't know what happened when I was released from my mother's care when I was a toddler. And one of my mother's sisters had taken me to their parents and put me in my grandparents' care. But it's just, I don't know how to explain it.
Let me explain it. You have an intuition. You are very intuitive, aren't you? You can recognize where I'm coming from.
I was.
And so, did you do one of these two things? Did you look to your family, all the different people in your family, your kids and all the rest? Did you look to them try to help them?
Belong.
Did you? No, here it is. Did you try to help them, or did you want something from them?
I think I was looking, like you said, I was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, that's right. And you get rejected again, or you get screwed again, don't you?
Oh yeah, and I got mistreated. I was taken advantage of.
That's where your identity is coming from. Different sources. You're hungry for your mother, and this hunger is never satisfied. And then you hunger again, and you hate her, and then you feel guilty. And then you look for the love from your mother, and she's not there. But you want your mother. It's only natural to want your mother. But the point is, you begin to resent your mother, and the anger and the hostility is growing. And to the degree that you hunger for her, you bring out from her, doesn't matter where she is, in Timbuktu or in the grave, you are going to be pulling from her the dark side of the force all the way back to Paradise Lost. And then you get an identity crisis in your head. And there is no cure for that in psychiatry or psychology. None. But there is a cure if you can realize one thing. Your mother could not help her. Forgive her, for she knows not what she did. And you are standing in her shoes in one way or another. You're just as lost as she is.
In a bad way. Yes,
right.
And that's what I can't seem to... I know I use your meditation, I'm not trying to get stuck.
Oh, hold a second. No, hold a second, dear. I want you to close your eyes. How many, let me just talk to my producer for a second. How many minutes do I have for the next break? Hello? How many? 2 minutes, all right. How many minutes after my 2 minutes? A 3 minute break, and how many? I'll try to work this in 10 minutes, okay? In the 10 minute break. Okay, thank you very much. Now I'm going to go back to Delcia. Hello, are you still there, young lady?
Yes, I am.
Now listen carefully. What I want you to do is to meditate the way I teach you, especially the simple one, the 7 minute one. You have the 7 minute one, which it doesn't cost anything to anybody. Do you have that?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what I want you to do. I want to just do a little practice before I go and work with you for 10 minutes. Can you close your eyes? And I'm telling you what I'm going to be trying to do. If you close your eyes, you can see... Oh, I'll see that. Just hold a second there. Okay, don't go away. And this may create maybe I'm meant to keep you over to the next hour. This is a very important thing. Okay, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I have to work with this for the sake of the stations that are, you know, commercial. Thank you. Yes, if I was, you know, live with you in person, we'll have to do it a different way. But since that you're miles and miles away, I can communicate through the radio. And the sound of my voice is different from the ordinary man. I think you will agree. And it gives you a sense of worth. I mean, it feels like a breath of fresh air. I want you to listen to my voice. And the first thing I want you to do is... not to try to do anything when you meditate. Do not use effort. See, don't use any effort. So close your eyes. I just have a practice here, just a practice, whether we can work it later on. Close your eyes, and I want you to do something very simple. Look at your eyelids. Now, you know what I mean by looking at your eyelids when you've got your eyes closed. And what do you see? Could you tell me what you see? Do you see black? Or do you see little pixels moving across the screen of the mind? Which is it?
Right now, I just see black.
Yeah, I would understand the black. Yes. And so now, we leave that alone. I won't mess with that. Then there's one other way to get to you. With your eyes closed, I want you to realize that black is the darkness from which rises your identities, all your identities. And so that when you long for your mother, you're longing for a broken person who cannot help, but if she gives you what she has, she'll only give you a sense of this, a sense of, not a sense, but she'll give you her identity. And that, and identity is living in you as a dark side of the force. And so, you need to just follow this simple simple example. Just be aware of the first finger of your right hand with your eyes closed. Now, you know what I mean by just being aware of it. That's all. And you're aware. And I want you to be aware, and so that you are aware that you have a finger of your right hand. Just be aware of it, and it will start to tingle. That's all, but don't make it tingle purposely. Just be aware of it so it tingles. Can you do that? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yes, I can.
That's very good. Now, I will take you on. Just 1 second. This is awkward. I'm sorry, but we're going to do it this way. This is all I got, because that's all I'm allowed to do on this radio program this week. Yes, these 10 minutes is all we got left. All right. Okay, Delcia, you got your eyes closed, right?
Yes.
And it's dark, black, right?
Yes.
Okay. But you can be aware of your first finger of your right hand and it tingles, correct?
Yes.
Oh, now, just be aware of it. Now, go to the second finger, and the same thing happens. It's like the finger is saying, oh, I'm so glad you're paying attention to me, and you feel a little tingle of joy as if it was a little kid crying to mama. See this, basically? And so the fingers tingle, is that right? The little finger, that second finger tingles, right?
Yes.
Okay, now the third finger. Do the same thing. And this is the magic part. Just do it. Just be aware of it. Nothing more. No effort, please. And now that there's tingles too, doesn't it? See that?
You're starting to.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, and I want you to... Now, the little finger too, if you don't mind. Just be aware of it. And so and then you get to the thumb, and you start again. And tingle. And then the first finger. See? And then the second finger, just follow me. And just the third finger, follow me, please. And the little finger, keep doing it while I'm talking to you. Now, what I'm trying to do is, I don't want you to make any effort at all. God doesn't need your help. See, you have inside you something that when you were born, you had a voiceless voice. A wordless word that says, that wants you to know what your life is, what your purpose is for. And that's all. That's good enough. It's there. It was there. And it now must become above everything else. That is there. And as long as you have it, God will hear you. As long as you have it, don't worry about it. I know you have it. I know you're intuitive. It's still there. You recognize me. You recognize my voice. Now, I want you to realize that when you are doing this, your conscious mind, your consciousness, your conscious mind, the intuitive part of you that's very, very valuable, spiritual, will awaken, you see. And you will begin, and as it awakens, as you become aware of yourself, which you weren't before, the awareness separates you, is separating you from your monkey brain. I call it a monkey brain because it's the same as a monkey brain. It does the same thing. But the difference is that if you are tangled with it as a human being, because monkeys and animals don't have what you got, you have something beautiful inside you. And that's the intuition. You can recognize what I'm saying to you. And I'm saying to you, you see, that don't be afraid. You're becoming disconnected from your brain. And you're moving backwards, in a sense, towards our Creator. In other words, when you are aware, awareness is very important. And so, when you're aware of the blackness of your mind, from which evil rises, you see, it affects you because it's an external thing. See, it's of this world. You're looking for love from all the wrong places. And your mother, everybody else. But damned if you get it and damned if you don't. See? So listen, you stop trying. And just be aware, that's all, that you're being disconnected and that you're moving into a realm which is called Be Still and Know that He is God. Basically, that's what's happening to you. Whether you realize it or not, it is happening to you. Now, and so when you get disconnected, what happens is you're closer to God. Back means forward. Relatively speaking, when you're moving back and God is there waiting, you're actually coming towards Him. And that is what's happening when you're doing this tingling of the finger. That's it now. Open your mind, open your eyes, and tell me what you see in the room around you. What do you see? What's the first thing you see? Or feel? Or sense?
A little lighter.
A little brighter. A little brighter. Does things look brighter?
Yes.
That's it. The disconnect took care. You're disconnected for the time being from the connection to the dark side of the force that rises up to fill your need. And damned if you get it, and damned if you don't. See, so that's all I want you to do for now, because it's. Would you like to hold on? Because I think we can actually help you on this program. And I've never done this before, but would you like to hold on?
So yes, that I would. I do.
Okay. So you just hold on a second, because I have to get a break. But there's a possibility of having a it's a hard word to say, but you have I can't find the word. My tongue is sort of tied here a little bit, but you may be attacked, or you may be awakened by some identity, and I don't want you to be upset, because I will take over from there. You understand that? You're going to have an identity crisis if we continue. We may or may not, but I'm willing to give it a try. This is not the best way to do it, but you need some help, and so I will do the best I can after the break, because that's all we got. So, now, are you willing to experience something uncomfortable?
Are I've been uncomfortable to? All my life, sir. I'm yeah. ready.
Yes, but it's going to be scary.
I'm ready. I have to face it sometime.
Okay. You're going to have a... well, it's hard to explain. You'll begin to start to face the dark side of the force, and you'll be able to look at it and see it, and you will begin to have a. You see what's working inside you is it, and it talks to you, and it makes you think that whatever it is that's causing your suffering is your fault, and causes you to try to fix it. And that's a trick, because you cannot fix it, and therefore you should not try. In other words, because you cannot fix yourself, and the dark side knows you cannot fix yourself, and it will tell you, talk to you in some kind of mysterious language. You will know, you will give them to know that the voices in your head, the identity you have, is coming from the world outside, and we need to disconnect you from the world, the dark side of the world, every human being that ever lived. Everybody's got it to some degree, and the more they love you, the worse they become. The more cruel they are to you, it does the same thing. Love and hate are two horns on the same goat. So be careful now. We'll be right back.